This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Top of the hour is VSiN by the Books, and we've got a great deal right now for you. The NFL preseason is only a couple of weeks away, and this is a really good offer. Lock in our early bird pricing on our football special for just $175 before the prices go up next month. So you're going to get instant access to our betting guides, plural. Our NFL betting guide's already out. And then we've got the upcoming college football betting guide. So it's going to give you everything you need to attack those futures win totals, conference races, in the upcoming season before the kickoff of the year begins. And the sooner you sign up, the more value you will get. With full VSiN Pro access to everything we do across every sport through the Super Bowl, that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Going to have Wes Reynolds join the program here later on in this hour. Talk all things 3M Open. Get to our best bets as well. But Jensen, right now, what goes up must go down. It is time for Stock Up and Stock Down.
Buy low, sell high, as long as you have a reason why. Whose reputation is soaring and who's on the verge of collapse? It's Stock Up, Stock Down.
All right, Jensen, I do believe that I've won the coin toss this week. So I will go ahead and kick off here. And we're going to kick it off with what's going up. And with all due respect, it's American football. The stock couldn't be higher. Look, the World Cup was fantastic. And the ratings bear it out. We all loved it. Everybody got involved in it. It's over. Now we get on to the main course. If that's the appetizer for soccer, we get to the real stuff with our American football. And I don't know that it's ever been more palpable for college football, for the NFL season to begin. We can't wait for any and all of it. So I know it's mid-July, and I know we're kind of suffering through some of this stuff. We're going, oh, it's a dog days and all those things. We've got other things to occupy us, but we know what's right around the corner. And again, I'm looking at the numbers behind us, going to talk more college football. We're already looking at week one lines, certainly in the college and the NFL. No better time than right now to hop on the express, because when it happens, and I mention this every year on the program, it goes by so fast. So we wait, build it up. And then it gets here, and then it feels like it's over before you know it. It's going to be here soon, people. The stock of American football, I don't know that it can get higher every year, but I think it will this year. It just keeps going up.
All right, I have two stock ups. I will wait for the reveal to see which one they want to give me first here. We'll go with Major League Baseball starting pitchers at the trade deadline, because, Dave, it is always one of the most expensive commodities that you can acquire, and not just at the trade deadline, at any time. And this year it is so difficult because you still have so many teams that are within a handful of games of a playoff spot. Now, the graphic you're seeing there on FanDuel Sports Network, YouTube TV, Rogers Sportsnet, north of the border. You've got Tarek Skubal, you've got Joe Ryan, you got Freddie Peralta. May I also enter the chat? Robbie Ray, Kevin Gausman, now that we've stuck a fork in the Blue Jays, okay? And we'll probably look at Casey Mize if he comes back healthy here for the Detroit Tigers. Now, Detroit is going to have, I think, the ultimate decision when they get to August 1st, August 2nd. Where will they be as far as games in or out of a playoff spot? That will create a market and potentially the biggest seismic trade, at least in the last decade, if Tarek Skubal is dealt. We will wait and see, but boy, if you are a preeminent starting pitcher that is on a team that is probably not making the postseason once we get there, your stock is way up.
I like Minnesota. I mean, I've never been to Minnesota, but when I think about them, what I think about is Prince Kirby Puckett. That's normally what I think about when I think of Minnesota. Well, the 3M Open this week, your stock might never be higher in the PGA Tour. Why? Because you have a real showstopper that's going to be playing in the 3M Open. Scottie Scheffler is on the grounds this week. Yes, Scottie Scheffler, world number one, is coming to Minnesota. So normally, when you get done with major golf season, and you talk about the lull in the golf season, people just kind of tune it out. And they're like, it's over. Over. Did you say over? We got the best player in the world coming to Minnesota. You would think for 4 days. I don't think Scottie's going to miss the cut. when the guy is the big overwhelming favorite to win this tournament. And again, you don't see odds like this in the odds board very often, where there's almost a $20 difference. I don't know that I've ever seen that before between the first place golfer and the second payable golfer here on the odds board. And Scottie Scheffler, Minnesota, is coming to your town. So forget about all the stuff about the British Open and everybody's depressed. Go out there and watch the best golfer in the world. I know he didn't win a major this year. He's going to be looking to win because he hasn't won a whole lot this year on tour. You might, Minnesota, be able to say, I went to the 3M Open back in 2026 when I saw the best player in the world, Scottie Scheffler, get back on the good foot and back on the winning track. Minnesota, 3M Open, your stock is way up.
All right. When you fly the W, Dave, that means the Cubs have won a game. And since June 15th, only the Boston Red Sox have won more games in Major League Baseball. The Northsiders are looking pretty competent. And if you look at the record, that's indicative of it. They still need some work on the pitching side. But, Dave, in that timeline as well, they are the number one team in offensive wins above replacement at 9.1. The Pittsburgh Pirates are second at 7.5. So 1.5, over 1.5 more wins above replacement with the way the Cubs have been swinging the bat. They decimated Framber Valdez last night early. They have really made it stand up in kind. And I think the Cubs could be a force to be reckoned with here if they, at the trade deadline, make some shrewd moves. Jed Hoyer, Carter Hawkins, you're on the clock. Momentum on your side right now for the better part of a month. And I think the stock continues to rise there on the north side.
What goes up must come down. We do not confer before our picks and before we submit them, as I've submitted mine to John Lund, doing a great job this weekend for Joe Friso. And, you know, kindred spirits sometimes, Jensen. Sometimes great minds do think alike. We've talked a lot about them. It's the Toronto Blue Jays. The stock is down. Look, you know, this is a personal one. It's a tough one for me because I got invested emotionally and financially with this baseball team last year for one of the best, most epic runs you're going to see. The way they came back against Seattle in that Game 7 dramatic, the Springer Dinger, and you get to the World Series, and you're literally just a couple outs away from winning the World Series. It's right there for the taking, and you can't get that last out, and the Dodgers come back, and boy, what a Game 7 it was. And you felt like, all right, maybe they got something going north of the border, and then carry this thing over. The show must go on, right? No, the show stopped. It's a showstopper. This thing, everything's changed for this team. And they're going to have to sell away pieces. I don't know if George Springer is going to be dealt. I don't know what's happening there. But it's like all of the feel-good story of Major League Baseball last year, the Toronto Blue Jays, 9 games under 500, dead last in the AL East. It feels like there's no hope there. I don't know John Schneider. I know there were rumors he was going to get fired before they made that great run. I hope he sticks around with what he was able to do last year. It feels like there's a lot of changes coming. And that's why the opportunity to win in any sport, Jensen, it might be fleeting. And that's the way it feels for the Blue Jays. Their stock is way down.
All right. We talked with Jonathan Von Tobel earlier in the show, and I had made mention of it to you after the All-Star break. The odds for Jacob Mizorowski to win the National League Cy Young have been cut in half. He was upwards of a $5 favorite before the All-Star break, and then some arm fatigue issues led him to not only miss his final start, but also to not pitch in the All-Star game. Well, the workload issues are something that we will put a pin in and follow in earnest here because, you know, today's price, not yesterday's price. Just like you've said many times, Dave, he's been cut in half. And I think they're going to really have a keen eye on making sure he can not only get through the finish line of the regular season, but you know if they want to go to that World Series, he's going to have to be really fueled up and ready to rock. Opening there in the National League Cy Young market, so not necessarily a knock on Jacob Mizorowski and the talent, but definitely stock down for his chance to wrap up that award.
You know, I didn't know what the hellhole of Twitter, what could be the worst fan base out there. It could be golf Twitter, ironically, with the venom they'll put out there if you say we need to switch some rules, Jensen, as I made the plea yesterday on this program. And they're not going to like it today because the golf rules and the officials that they've got to dole out to these players, they are so convoluted. If you go into the rules of golf, oh my goodness, good luck figuring this out. The TIOs and what you get a free drop from and what you don't get a free drop from, what we're going to penalize you for, what we're going to let slide. It feels quite arbitrary. And we talk about this a lot in the NFL. We talk about it in a lot of other major sports. Golf, no better time. Help out the officials, because I think the officials are having a tough time trying to figure out, do I give this golfer a two-shot penalty for throwing his club, but I give this golfer just a warning? You talk to the golfers themselves, and they'll tell you they're just as confused. The rules are confusing. The players are confused. John Rahm said, I don't know what a penalty is if I drop my club, because it's arbitrary. We have to stop that golf. You can be better, and it starts with the rules officials and the rules of golf themselves.
Dave, you know I am all about being a stickler for etiquette and for also doing the right thing. Gentlemen, this is a free and easy PSA. It's not hard to hold the door or pull out the chair for your ladies, for your loved ones. I'm telling you, it's the little things, Dave. I feel like I am an old school, hopeless romantic. I do not ever want to break the streak of making sure that I pull Michelle's chair out, hold the door for her to get through. You do not want the ire of a 5'2" Sicilian Italian on you if you don't do the little things. I am proud to say that I always remember to do the right thing. Gentlemen, be a gentleman. Not hard to do. It will take you to heights you never thought possible when you do the little things right. So guys who don't do that, you're looking at your phone, you're walking in front of your girl. Just a little free advice for you to clean it up out there in these great United States.
Well said. I mean, I double down on that every day. Open up the door for people. It doesn't even have to be your girl, just anybody. Common courtesy, people. It goes a long way out there in these great United States of ours. All right, let's talk some baseball here, Jensen. The Daily Diamond, it's coming up next. Can the Red Sox, after the rainout, get right back in the good foot? We'll discuss right here. Beast Mode. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Wednesday morning. Going to get to Wes Reynolds a little bit later on, talk more golf, 3M Open, see what value he finds on the board, get to our best bets before this show is over. But right now, we're back to a full slate, and actually a little bit more baseball than we bargained for because of Mother Nature. Let's get all to it right now in today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Old schoolers rejoice. You got a couple double dips there in the Northeast because of the Mother Nature yesterday. Going to get two in Beantown and get two in the Boogie Down for the Yankees and the Pirates and Jensen. Last we saw, these two teams were almost at each other at each other's throats. Maybe it could be heated today for two in the Boogie Down.
Well, I hope it's not heated offensively, at least in game one. Let's start with the under 9.5 in game one of this day-night double dip. It will be Mitch Keller and Gerrit Cole, the scheduled starters here. I played the under at, find this price here for you real quickly. I played the under at minus $1.13. You can find a little bit more of a price point on Novig, which is where I got the best of the number. But bottom line, I'm going to take a little bit of a risk here, Dave, because Mitch Keller, in his career, a couple of starts at Yankee Stadium, it's not been good. Over a 10 ERA. Start last year, he was here at 3 2/3, and then a couple of years ago. So I don't want to go back too far. What I do want to harp on is that this is still a Yankee offense without Aaron Judge. Yes, Jazz Chisholm has come on here the last couple of days, but boy, I just don't see a ton of resistance offensively from the Yankee offense. And to that end, it's a tough assignment for Gerrit Cole going up against one of the highest scoring teams in all of baseball. But I think he's got it locked back in. Traditionally a guy in day games that really pitches well. And so I'll take a shot on the under 9.5 here, minus $1.13.
Just very quickly before we get to some of these other games, and I mentioned the kind of the getting hot under the collar a little bit and pitchers talking to hitters or walking down the line, that sort of thing. Is there a carryover effect? Because back in the old days, sometimes you could issue that code red the next time you step in the box. Are those days done, Jensen?
It won't happen today because of the double dip. You can't afford to lose guys, ejections, things of that nature. So I would be shocked if we have anything happen in either contest, unless rules of engagement do apply here. Do not fire until fired upon.
Love the rules of engagement. Let's get to a little bit more that you have here. Let's talk about the other team. And I know everybody's talking about the Red Sox right now. Of course, they had the day off because of the weather. Orioles with that double dip. You're looking at game two more so than game one so far.
Yeah, let's go with the Orioles on the money line. Not a scheduled starter announced yet for the Boston Red Sox, but I just like the way Kyle Bradish has been pitching here as of late. If you go back to June 17th, covering his last five starts, it's a 2.12 ERA, but the 2.52 field independent pitching. Now, for those that don't know what FIP is, this measures a pitcher's effectiveness at preventing homers, walks, hit by pitches, and causing strikeouts. So it's a little bit more of a true indicator, regardless of ballpark, of how effective a pitcher has been. So I love that those real ERA and field independent pitching numbers over the last five starts have been so close together. He's only given up 19 hits in 34 innings pitched in those five starts. So I like the matchup. It's going to be that night game, so we already have maybe some tired legs and having to wait around a little bit to play the nightcap. So I do like the Orioles in game two. Plus $1.25 is what I found at Novig. Some of the prediction markets have a little bit better price point. That's where I like the value in game two later on tonight.
I was so pleasantly surprised, and I mentioned this to you and Will Hill yesterday in our baseball group text about Zach Thornton for the Metropolitans. And maybe, you know, in the fire that is this dismal brush fire here of a Mets baseball season, we're starting to find some guys that might be players in the future. I think they found one in Christian Scott. He's going to take the bump here today. Remember when he came up and a lot of walks that he was having? Jensen, looks like he's kind of curbing that and starting to realize he's got good enough stuff to challenge guys. And the Mets actually looked like a Major League Baseball team yesterday. It was just so fun to watch for one day. Can they continue that and get better pitching and defense and maybe minimize that Brewer attack?
Oh, he has been spectacular, Dave. How about zero runs allowed in three of his last four road games started? Now, very tough task this afternoon at American Family Field going up against the Milwaukee Brewers. But I think that trend continues. And I do like the guy on the other side, young Logan Henderson, great young right-hander. The Brewers have really leaned on with Brandon Woodruff going down with injuries this year. He's made three home starts so far this year. Logan Henderson has all three of those home starts, Dave. He's allowed two runs or fewer. So we're going to get to an under eight. There are 7.5s out there right now. I wanted to have a little bit of cushion here. You know, I hate getting beat by the hooks, so we'll buy up a little bit. A flat eight. We'll play the under eight at minus $1.33 on DraftKings. Just two guys that are really rolling well here in those situational circumstances. Let's see if we get a lot of run prevention early and often in Milwaukee.
Twins, kind of talked about them a little bit and whether or not this stretch is going to determine whether or not they're going to be buyers or sellers. It hadn't gone well the last couple of days here against the Guardians. What about today's matchup here? Can they get back on the good foot finally?
Yeah, I was texting Adam Burke last night. The Guardians are the biggest smoke and mirrors team offensively I have seen over the last couple of years. I still don't understand how they're getting some of these done. Well, let's take a guy who in his last couple of starts has actually looked the part. That's Bailey Ober, who will get the ball for the Minnesota Twins. 2.61 ERA, last two starts, Dave. Just eight hits allowed and 10 in the third, but he struck out 12 while only walking three. So the matchup there, I feel, can limit a really opportunistic Guardian offense. Now, they have hit a lot of homers. I mentioned the six homers just a couple of days ago against Joe Ryan. Just things that you just don't understand how happen, much less five of those six coming from guys who have a batting average of 200 or below. Slade Ciccone on the other side here today, Dave, and he's actually been one of the better and more consistent starters behind Gavin Williams. What Parker Messick has been doing, another great outing from Parker Messick yesterday. Actually, Slade Ciccone kind of going in the opposite direction that Bailey Ober is. Last two starts, it's an 8.31 ERA, eight earned runs and 8 2/3, but 15 hits allowed. So let's take kind of two guys going in opposite directions. I'll back the Minnesota Twins to finally be able to get on the board in this series. I like them on the money line, plus $1.11 here at Progressive Field later on tonight.
Rays and Jays, we've talked a lot about the Jays here in the last couple of days, and we feel like they are toast. And I know you and I are kind of writing them off at this juncture. Rays, man, every day it feels like, are they the best team in the American League? You can make that debate. What about today? Because, again, really tight numbers, just like they were yesterday, $1.05 here to the Rays side, $1.07 to the Jays. That total, is that something you're looking to attack?
Yes, definitely. And looking at the pitching matchup here, Griffin Jacks, who has been awesome for the Rays in their rotation. Braden Fisher going to be the opener today for the Toronto Blue Jays. If you look at the Jays' offense, and just kind of since, I think it's the last week of June. Yeah, June 23rd, you look at them averaging just 3.5 runs scored. But the majority of those, Dave, they have had a real tough time being able to put up some crooked numbers here. And as of late, you would have to believe that the way the Rays are just kind of decimating people on the pitching side, that continues to be the case. So I do like where the Rays are, but particularly, you know, the Blue Jays have had opportunities to limit some scoring. It may not happen today. The Rays may have to do it all themselves to get to an under, but I do like the under 8.5. There are eights out there for Rogers Center tonight, but under 8.5 minus $1.25 at Novig, best price I found for this game later on tonight.
Get me a win for the Fighting Fish. It's starting to get dicey here. Every passing day, it's another loss. And you start to those good vibes we had for the Marlins. I'm not saying they're going away, Jensen, but at some point, you know what this is like. You're just desperate for a win, and they can't seem to get one. Not scoring enough runs here recently. Do you think that trend continues down there in H-Town?
Could be run suppression on both sides here. Sandy Alcantara for the Marlins, a 2.14 ERA in his last three starts, 23 strikeouts in 21 innings. And Peter Lambert has actually been a real nice boost to a rotation that has had their own problems with the injury bug. His last three starts have been spectacular as well. How about a 1.02 ERA for Peter Lambert? His last 17 2/3, 23 strikeouts, only 9 hits allowed. Offense at a premium tonight for two guys going in really, really good directions here. Let's play the under 8.5 minus $1.26. Found that on Novig. Last game on the slate tonight, Dave, an 8-10 start. No West Coast games, at least in the later hour. So you can get early to bed tonight after watching some night baseball.
No chance to get that rain out in that dome there in H-Town. I think that's what the Marlins could use right now, maybe as a day off. They need what the Red Sox got yesterday, and the Red Sox didn't even need it. Okay, we're going to have Wes Reynolds join the program here. Talk more 3M Open, get his picks. I'll have some bomb plays for you on the 3M Open. That's coming up next when we get to our best bets. And Jensen, one really juicy one for you. I think you're going to like it. We'll discuss next right here on VSiN by the Books.
Network. You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
If you're betting at Circus Sportsbook for a limited time, you can fund your wagers and contest entries with crypto using BurraPay and pay no BurraPay transaction fees. It's fast, secure. Another way Circa continues to innovate for sports bettors. Visit BurraPay.com to learn more. Take advantage of the fee-free crypto wagering before August 31st, exclusively at Circus Sportsbook at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. BurraPay transaction fees waived as part of the campaign. Standard cryptocurrency network and exchange fees may apply. But again, cutting edge, that's what Circa does. That's what Derek Stevens does. So check it out if you're there at the mothership in Las Vegas. Okay, we're going to get to our best bets. Of course, Wes Reynolds is going to join the program next. We'll get his thoughts on the 3M Open. Jensen, I'll give you a couple guys, and I did give you earlier in the program here two guys to keep an eye on. I always tell people every week, normally the placement markets come out about today. You could get some on some books yesterday. Still waiting to search around for the best numbers. And I do like to do some price shopping. But I did find three bombs. And look, Scottie Scheffler's in the field. And if you want to do the silver bullet and the one-shot deal and go with Scotty, I'm not going to get mad at you. And I understand why. He's the short shot on the board, about plus 265. If you can find a 3-to-1, probably actually would be good value. I can't see a world that we live in where Scotty is not there, if not running away with this thing on Sunday. But if you want to go down the board, this is because Scotty's in a field like this. It alters the numbers pretty dramatically here for the rest of the field. Again, almost a $20 betting difference between 1 and 2. You just don't see that on the PGA Tour, but you see it this week. Kurt Kitayama, that second betting choice at plus 2250. I did go down the board, and it's not just because his dad tweeted at me and we had a pleasant exchange on Twitter, but it's Maverick McNealy. And I did play him at 35-1. Now, he's been shorted since I played that. He's down to, you see, 2350 on your screen if you're watching on FanDuel Sports Network on YouTube TV. If you can find around a 30-1, I still think it's playable. I think he's going to be in this thing all week, the third betting choice there. But at 35-1 earlier in the week, Jensen, I couldn't wait. And I pulled the trigger on that number, and it's been dropped by almost 10 bucks there. Now, I did go down the board a little bit longer as well. And I mentioned Jackson Suber. And the more and more you watch young Jackson, and if you're not enthralled by the grip, which is absolutely just wild to watch, the way he swings the golf club, really strong player, strong grip, strong player, 60-1. I found out there as a long shot. I just like where he is mentally. And I've talked about this in golf betting for well before I was ever even here at the network, back in my Chicago days, that it feels like these guys hit pockets. They hit windows where they're really hot for a real short amount of time. And I think Jackson Suber is one of those guys right now. It's 60-1 that is worth a dart on that dartboard here for an extreme long shot, at least a deep double-digit long shot here, second tier, if you will. And then I did throw in one more. Now, look, Jackson Suber is about 45-1, 48-1s out there, 60-1. I had to play that number when I got it. So, again, it's been shorted a little bit today. But, again, I urge you to shop around. If you can find that north of 50, I still think that'd be a playable number on Jackson Suber. And then one extreme long shot. I normally don't do this very often. Very small pizza money play. But I did play Aaron Wise at 225-1. And the reason why I took that bomb play, and I can't wait to talk to Wes because I do not do a cheat sheet and look and see what he's got before he comes on our show. This was one of the world-class players that we had, a young, up-and-coming player, and had some real issues off the golf course and mentally to get back to being right. And if you've watched Aaron Wise here recently, he's a real pleasant surprise back in the PGA Tour. He's starting to show some of that form. Can he get lightning in a bottle for 4 days? I think he's trending in the right direction. And at that price point, if he keeps going like that, you'll never get another number like that again. Again, if he's up there, I'm going to look to monetize here on the weekend, Jensen. But at 225-1, that's the longest long shot bomb play I've had this year. And I felt it was worth a pizza money play.
All right. I'm going to take a look and see what I want to do in the tournament. But I will probably be few and far between moving forward. Just has not been a sport that I've been able to get a handle on from the wagering markets. I'll probably be a bit more. So I guess I'll throw this out to you. So when I write down my placements, my top 20s, top 10s, top 5s, mm-hmm. outrights, what I'm probably going to end up doing is then going a rung down. Because I find a lot of the tournaments, Dave, where I've been a shot or two off of that, of yep. hitting that market. And if I were a rung down, as far as if I played a top 30 instead of a top 20, then I'd be cashing tickets. Now they may not be at the plus money prices. And that's kind of where I've been shooting for, is trying to extract the most value or maximize the most value. But I think that's probably my adjustment moving forward. We did this in millions too, where we do yeah. the audit, and it's something we'll do again this year. We'll go by quarters, you know, see where we've been. There are no kings in this country, Dave, but we still are the kings of handicapping the international NFL slate. I think that's a great thing to do. And for people that are out there, trust me, like I post my plays every day. I post my record every yeah. day. Basketball season, as far as the NBA, stunk for me. NHL, I'm going to get with Jonathan Davis on just my process and see if I'm looking at these sides and totals the right way. Always want to learn. always want to be, you know, kind of sharpening my tools and being able to do well. Bears repeating, if you have an email for us, especially now we're heading into football season, you brought up week zero for college football. We're going to definitely start tackling some of those lines next week. If you've got some futures you want us to talk about, buy the books at VSiN.com, the email address. Start sending us some of those ideas or those plays. I know we've been getting some posts, Dave, on social media about even some make the college football playoff parlays that people are starting to put together. Mm-hmm. So great time as always. We've been so grateful for all the feedback. Buy the books at VSiN.com. Send us your first name, city and state where you're from. We'll read those ones on air, not only through the rest of the week, but for the weeks to come.
You know, and again, I think it's a great point you made, certainly about golf betting in general. You know, I had a really good Friday last week in the golf props and then a terrible Saturday. And again, a lot of that comes from I'm going to watch the course. I'm going to watch the play. And I'm not saying everybody's got to go home and watch the 3M Open. I'm going to do that for you. And then I'm going to post those plays on X. So as Jensen mentioned, you can also follow us on X. And I'll try to get those out there because it could be split moments before these guys tee off to see if there's any weather changes. I felt like I got a little bit burned by that on Saturday as the conditions did get just slightly tougher, and it kind of cost me. So, again, it's a really good kind of a, you know, self-audit, if you will, of where your strengths and weaknesses are. And sometimes you really do have to be putting in that work and watching, certainly in golf betting, if you're getting into the round props, and those get posted generally either late night or same day. So I try to get those out there to you best I can. But that's been hit or miss. And sometimes that is dependent on the conditions of the golf course. We'll see how the 3M Open is playing in Minnesota this week. Very quickly, Jensen, just to recap some of your baseball plays that you have out there for the people. We got a double dip at the Bronx. We've got a double dip in Boston. And you do have some underplays that you like as well. And I know in Milwaukee is one of those too.
Yeah, so let's start on the day slate. The Pirates-Yankees game one. We're going to play the under 9.5 minus $1.13. That pitching matchup, again, Mitch Keller, Garrett Cole. I do think that the Yankee offense still doesn't give me enough fear to feel like we're going to be in grave danger. What other kind of danger is there? Mitch Keller, again, I know it's not been a great course history for him at Yankee Stadium, but I think he's primed for a bounce back at some point. This might be the elixir for him. Also, just two young guns that are going really well right now. Christian Scott for the Mets, Logan Henderson for the Brewers. Just to recap a couple of the trends that are going in their direction right now. Christian Scott has allowed zero runs in three of his last four road starts. And by virtue of where Logan Henderson has had the opportunity here at home, this will be his fourth home start. He's allowed two runs or fewer in all three previous home starts that he's made. So those are my early slate plays. Just a couple to list out for you. I am going to take two underdogs, and the first one will be at game two of the day-night doubleheader between the Orioles and the Red Sox. That's Kyle Bradish, who's going to get the start for Baltimore. He has been sensational here the last handful of times out. Red Sox have not announced a starter yet, but I don't think it's really going to matter for me. I just like the matchup on Baltimore's side. And regardless of kind of what happens here, you could get some tired legs, tired arms from that day game and also having to wait around. Last one for you would be the Twins plus $1.11. At some point, they got to get through. And Adam Burke and I were texting yesterday. I feel the Guardians have been the biggest smoke and mirror offense going this season. Somehow, some way, they find clutch hits. They get some big homers against Joe Ryan when you least expect it. But I think Bailey Ober, last couple of times out, sensational. Slade Ciccone, over an 8 ERA, back-to-back starts combined. Give me the Twins, plus $1.11 on the money line to finally get a win in that four-game series here in Game 3 tonight.
Would you say it was in grave danger? Is there another kind? The Yankees, John Lund, thank you very much for this tidbit. They have promoted Spencer Jones, Jensen, by the way, as the 27th man for today's double dip. What do you make of the phenom to be back in there? Good sign to get the young fellow back in the lineup?
Love my Vandy boy. A lot of free air conditioning. Hope that happens in game one, and then he can do whatever he wants in game two.
There we go. Going to catch up with Wes Reynolds, get his thoughts on the 3M Open. How deep will he go in the card, or is it Scotty or Bust? That's next right here on VSiN by the Books.
Network.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books on this Wednesday morning. Dave Rawson and Jensen Lewis here with you. Always look forward to our conversations with the great Wes Reynolds. Our Wednesdays with Wes does a great job here in the network. And you got to listen to Long Shots. If you want to make money here and you're listening and watching golf as much as I like to watch it, you should be checking out Long Shots each and every week with Wes and Matt Brown and Kelly Bidwin as well. Give them a follow on X at Wes Reynolds number one. And joins the program now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Wes, very quickly, before we get to the 3M Open, and I know we're going to talk a lot about Scotty this week, what did you make overall of the British Open now that the four majors are in the books? I don't know that anybody, I know I didn't see Ryan Fox or Aaron Rye coming as major champions this year, but now that all the four majors are in the rearview mirror, what do you make of them in totality?
Yeah, I thought the Open, Dave, was the best of the four, just from a, I think, fan standpoint, separate any betting, and unfortunately didn't have anybody get across the finish line there at the end. Tommy Fleetwood was the closest one, but I thought that was a good major. I thought that there was a lot of intrigue. You had low scores where guys were able to shoot 62 on three separate occasions, and yet the winning score was 10 under par. So I thought the setup was fair. And I thought you had a lot of intriguing guys up there, and it was Ryan Fox that emerged. But yeah, it was not the year of the chalk in the majors. You know, once Rory won the Masters, it's like, okay, here we go. We're going to get, you know, Scotty or Xander Schauffele or some of the guys at the top, but Aaron Rye, Wyndham Clark, and Ryan Fox. So that just tells you that there's a lot of depth in the game right now. And it's hard on a given week to kind of, find that hole where, you know, you put the right peg in there and find the winner. And kudos to the few out there that did have Ryan Fox.
All right. So that is the operative phrase, finding the right winner. And I had mentioned earlier in the show, Wes, and I'm glad when we read your article that great minds think alike here. You are targeting the winner without market and that concerning Scottie Scheffler. You can understand why with where the odds are. Let me start because this will be a tournament, I'm sure, where a lot of people tuning in are like, who's that guy? Who's that guy? A lot of guys that maybe are not the most readily known. Top of your card, how did you get to a couple of these names that you've gotten that winner without market?
Yeah, one that I did play is a guy that's kind of been a perennial bridesmaid, if you want to say, on the PGA Tour over the last few years. I went with the Grim Reaper. Don't fear the Reaper, right? Cue the Blue Oyster Cult. I don't know if anybody has any cowbell, but Doug Gim is who I played here. By the way, did not play in the Open last week. And actually, in the 6 years of the 3M Open being held after the Open Championship, four of the last six weren't even in the Open. So don't necessarily overrate what you saw in the Open the week prior. Gim missed the cut at the Scottish a couple weeks ago. That was the first one he missed since late March in Houston. But since then, 30th, 6th, 19th, 31st, 28th, 15th, and 6th. So he has been playing some pretty good golf. He's 95th in those FedEx Cup points, and you got about 3 weeks. You have this week in Minneapolis, you have next week in Detroit, and then you also have the Wyndham down in North Carolina before you get to that top 70 in Memphis for the FedEx Cup playoffs. So there's a lot of guys here this week that are trying to make moves. Doug Gim is one of them. And then, Jensen, you mentioned a guy that I think is going to be a big name in the game. Everybody's talking about Jackson Koivun. And rightfully so, from Auburn University, and he was the world number one amateur player before turning professional. Well, who was number two? That was Ben James, by the way, out of the University of Virginia, who won the PGA Tour U points list to get the immediate promotion to the PGA Tour. And he's made five starts when he turned pro at the RBC Canadian Open. He was 36th leader, by the way, halfway, 23rd at the U.S. Open. Made all five cuts, like I said, was fourth last week at the Corrales Punta Cana. Outstanding college player at University of Virginia, was actually the first player to become an All-American in all 4 years of college. Since, I'll give you a name that's a blast from the past that Dave will certainly remember, Bryce Mulder back in 2001.
Let's go.
Was the last one to be a four-time All-American. A couple others, Phil Mickelson, David Duvall also accomplished that. So Ben James has a lot of pedigree, and he's been making cuts and playing good golf in his short time on the tour.
Love that throwback. And yeah, I'm with you, Wes. Really like this kid, what we've seen so far. Because you're right, all the focus feels like it's on Jackson. You can understand why. Who's up there around 30-1 this week as well, in his third PGA Tour start of his young career. The profile outside of Scotty, because you're doing this winter without market, which is very smart there. The profile that you're looking for before you got those names and got to the window, what were you looking for the most to be able to contend this week at the 3M Open?
Yeah, approach is the first thing, Dave. You got to be really good with your irons. When we bagged Kitayama last year as a winner, he ended up ranking number one in approach here at the 3M Open. And then Lee Hodges did the same thing 2 years prior to that. So you want guys good with the irons and guys that are just good ball strikers, guys that total driving, I think, because one of the things that we have here at TPC Twin Cities is a lot of water, which we certainly didn't see over on the links last week. And, you know, that's what they want here at the 3M Open. I think the tournament founder, whose name is Hollis Kavner, back in 2019, when this event first got on the PGA Tour, goes, we want birdies and we want train wrecks. We don't want to be the hardest course on the tour. And that's exactly what they get. You get birdies and you also get a lot of double bogeys because you get water here. So you want guys that avoid the bogeys, and guys that can go on birdie runs, and also guys that are really good with the irons.
Wes, a guy that I have in my Bet the Builds for FanDuel and DraftKings this week is Mac Meisner. And I know that may not be a name that is readily recognizable by most of the common golf viewer, but it feels like the recent form is really advantageous for this event. He's on your card in the outright market as well. What did you like about him, not only with that recent form, but maybe how it sets up for this course?
You said it, Jensen, in terms of the form, four top tens in his last nine events. And I keep mentioning these FedEx Cup playoffs because now the points matter. You know, they show them every week as kind of the sponsor entitlement. You know, hey, we got to do like the read for FedEx here or something. They do it all throughout the season. And it's like the points don't really matter in February, but they matter now. And Mac Meisner, by the way, is in number 70, would be the last spot to get into Memphis in about 4 weeks. So he gets one more high finish in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He's going to lock in his spot and make the playoffs. And finished 14th here last year, shot all four rounds in the 60s. And I'm just going with the consistency. And I think that's what you've seen here in recent years. And that's how, like, Kitayama got on my card last year, because he was just having really solid finishes, you know. Nothing that like jumps out at you where he's like, okay, he was second 3 weeks in a row or something like that, but consistently having good finishes. And sometimes you get in this field where it's pretty wide open, sans Scotty, of course, being well at the top of the market. And a lot of guys think they've got a chance here. That's why a lot of these guys are here this week, not only for the points, but it's like, okay, I don't have the Rorys or the Xander Schauffeles or any of these guys in the field. So this is my chance to get a win and lock up my status for next year.
Yeah, no doubt. We know that Rory's already come out and said he's probably not going to be in Memphis, might not be at the first two FedEx Cup playoff events because he doesn't need to. What's the point for him? For these guys, as you mentioned, it's a very big point, and it's a huge potential game changer for them if they can get there to Memphis and beyond. Very quickly, a lot of people have asked me on social media, why is Scottie Scheffler here this week? Why do you think Scottie Scheffler is here at the 3M Open? Is it just as simple as, I made a commitment, and I'm honoring that commitment?
Probably a little bit of the latter, Dave. And, you know, this is no disregard to the folks in the Twin Cities who run a really good event. I actually kind of like this event. It's a, you know, kind of a quirky course, and it has a lot of intrigue, like we talked about, birdies and train wrecks. But he doesn't really need to be here. He's locked up his spot in the FedEx Cup play. He's going to be in the Tour Championship no matter how he plays over the next month. But I think it's a lot of it where it's like, you know what? I want to get a win because he hasn't won in a long time since the American Express in late January. So it might be just like, you know what? I need to feel the taste of winning again because he's come so close. Like even last week at the Open, even though he never got a share of the lead, he was number one in strokes gained ball striking. So it's like, I want to put it together and get another trophy to bring home to my latest addition to the family. And I think that that's as simple as that. He wants to win again, and he hasn't gotten that win equity here in 2026. So that's why I think he's here, and that's why I did play the without market this week, because it's like he should lap the field because he is such a far quality in terms of the world ranking ahead of everybody. But that's golf. You never know. It's not, he's not a lock to win, but I certainly just wanted to rule him out of the equation.
Yeah, I think we can understand why. That's a very popular market this week. Makes a lot of sense. And if Scotty's there, you would think he's there for that reason, Wes, that you're talking about. Wants to get back on that good foot and back in the winner's column. Great stuff, everybody. Please, again, check it out. Check out Long Shots each and every week. Wes, you and Matt and Kelly doing a fantastic job on that show each and every day. Jensen will do it again tomorrow. And everybody, if you want more VSiN, you've been watching here on FanDuel Sports Network or on YouTube TV, go to VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game coming up. Gil Alexander and the aforementioned Kelly Bidlin, they're coming up next. Paul Spohr is going to be on the program to give his Major League Baseball best bets. And how about this? The team that put together the Circus Survivor documentary, they're going to join the program as well with behind-the-scenes breakdown of the 7-part series that premieres tonight. It's all next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.